Majjhima Nikaya, number 119, Kayakata Sati Suttang, Mindfulness Immersed in the Body, translated from the Pali by Tanissaro Bhikkhu. I have heard that on one occasion the Blessed One was staying in Savatthi at Jeta's Grove, Anathapindika's monastery. Now at that time, a large number of monks, after the meal, on returning from their alms round, had gathered at the meeting hall when this discussion arose. Isn't it amazing, friends? Isn't it astounding? The extent to which mindfulness immersed in the body, when developed and pursued, is said by the Blessed One who knows, who sees, the Worthy One, rightly self-awakened, to be of great fruit and great benefit. And this discussion came to no conclusion. Then the Blessed One, emerging from his seclusion in the late afternoon, went to the meeting hall and, on arrival, sat down on a seat made ready. As he was sitting there, he addressed the monks, "For what topic are you gathered together here? And what was the discussion that came to no conclusion?" "Just now, Lord, after the meal, on returning from our alms round, we gathered at the meeting hall when this discussion arose." Isn't it amazing, friends? Isn't it astounding? The extent to which mindfulness immersed in the body, when developed and pursued, is said by the Blessed One who knows, who sees, the Worthy One, rightly self-awakened, to be of great fruit and great benefit. This was the discussion that had come to no conclusion when the Blessed One arrived. The Blessed One said, "And how is mindfulness immersed in the body developed? How is it pursued so as to be of great fruit and great benefit?" There is the case where a monk, having gone to the wilderness, to the shade of a tree, or to an empty building, sits down folding his legs crosswise, holding his body erect, and setting mindfulness to the fore. Always mindful, he breathes in. Mindful, he breathes out. Breathing in long, he discerns, "I am breathing in long." Or breathing out long, he discerns, "I am breathing out long." Or breathing in short, he discerns, "I am breathing in short." Or breathing out short, he discerns, "I am breathing out short." He trains himself, "I will breathe in sensitive to the entire body." He trains himself, "I will breathe out sensitive to the entire body." He trains himself, "I will breathe in calming bodily fabrication." He trains himself, "I will breathe out calming bodily fabrication." And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned, and with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Furthermore, when walking, the monk discerns, "I am walking." When standing, he discerns, "I am standing." When sitting, he discerns, "I am sitting." When lying down, he discerns, I am lying down. Or however his body is disposed, that is how he discerns it. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned. And with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Furthermore, when going forward and returning, he makes himself fully alert. When looking toward and looking away, he makes himself fully alert. When bending and extending his limbs, he makes himself fully alert. When carrying his outer cloak, his upper robe and his bowl, he makes himself fully alert. When eating, drinking, chewing, and savoring, he makes himself fully alert. When urinating and defecating, he makes himself fully alert. When walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and remaining silent, he makes himself fully alert. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned. And with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Furthermore, the monk reflects on this very body from the soles of the feet on up, from the crown of the head on down, surrounded by skin and full of various kinds of unclean things. In this body, there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, tendons, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, pleura, spleen, lungs, large intestines, small intestines, gorge, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, skin oil, saliva, mucus, fluid in the joints, urine. Just as if a sack with openings at both ends were full of various kinds of grain, wheat, rice, mung beans, kidney beans, sesame seeds, husked rice, and a man with good eyesight pouring it out were to reflect, this is wheat, this is rice, these are mung beans, these are kidney beans, these are sesame seeds, this is husked rice. In the same way, the monk reflects on this very body from the soles of the feet on up, from the crown of the head on down, surrounded by skin and full of various kinds of unclean things. In this body there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, tendons, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, pleura, spleen, lungs, large intestines, small intestines, gorge, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, skin oil, saliva, mucus, fluid in the joints, urine. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned. And with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Furthermore, the monk contemplates this very body, however it stands, however it is disposed, in terms of properties. In this body, there is the earth property, the liquid property, the fire property, and the wind property. Just as a skilled butcher or his apprentice, having killed a cow, would sit at a crossroads, cutting it up into pieces, the monk contemplates this very body, however it stands, however it is disposed, in terms of properties. In this body, there is the earth property, the liquid property, the fire property, and the wind property. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned, and with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Furthermore, as if he were to see a corpse cast away in a charnel ground, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days dead, bloated, livid, and festering, he applies it to this very body. This body too, such is its nature, such is its future, such its unavoidable fate. Or again, as if he were to see a corpse cast away in a charnel ground, picked at by crows, vultures, and hawks, by dogs, hyenas, and various other creatures, a skeleton smeared with flesh and blood, connected with tendons, a fleshless skeleton smeared with blood, connected with tendons, a skeleton without flesh or blood, connected with tendons, bones detached from their tendons, scattered in all directions, here a hand bone, there a foot bone, here a shin bone, there a thigh bone, here a hip bone, there a backbone, here a rib, there a breastbone, here a shoulder bone, there a neck bone, here a jaw bone, there a tooth, here a skull. The bones whitened, somewhat like the color of shells, piled up more than a year old, decomposed into a powder. He applies it to this very body. This body too, such is its nature, such is its future, such its unavoidable fate. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned, and with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Furthermore, quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskillful mental qualities, he enters and remains in the first jhana, rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal, accompanied by directed thought and evaluation. He permeates and pervades, suffuses and fills this very body with the rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal, just as if a skilled bathman or bathman's apprentice would pour bath powder into a brass basin and knead it together, sprinkling it again and again with water, so that his ball of bath powder, saturated, moisture-laden, permeated within and without, would nevertheless not drip. Even so, the monk permeates this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of withdrawal. There is nothing of his entire body unpervaded by rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned. And with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. And furthermore, with the stilling of directed thought and evaluations, he enters and remains in the second jhana, rapture and pleasure born of composure, unification of awareness free from directed thought and evaluation, internal assurance. He permeates and pervades, suffuses and fills this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of composure. Just like a lake with spring water welling up from within, having no inflow from the east, west, north, or south, and with the skies supplying abundant showers time and again, so that the cool fount of water welling up from within the lake would permeate and pervade, suffuse and fill it with cool waters, there being no part of the lake unpervaded by the cool waters. Even so, the monk permeates this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of composure. There is nothing of this entire body unpervaded by rapture and pleasure born of composure. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned, and with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. And furthermore, with the fading of rapture, he remains equanimous, mindful, and alert, and senses pleasure with the body. He enters and remains in the third jhana, of which the noble ones declare, equanimous and mindful, he has a pleasant abiding. He permeates and pervades, suffuses and fills this very body with the pleasure divested of rapture. Just as in the lotus pond, some of the lotuses, born and growing in the water, stay immersed in the water and flourish without standing up out of the water, so that they are permeated and pervaded, suffused and filled with cool water from their roots to their tips. And nothing of those lotuses would be unpervaded with cool water. Even so, the monk permeates this very body with the pleasure divested of rapture. There is nothing of his entire body unpervaded with pleasure divested of rapture. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned. And with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. And furthermore, with the abandoning of pleasure and pain, as with the earlier disappearance of elation and distress, he enters and remains in the fourth jhana, purity of equanimity and mindfulness, neither pleasure nor pain. He sits permeating the body with a pure, bright awareness, just as if a man were sitting covered from head to foot with a white cloth, so that there would be no part of his body to which the white cloth did not extend. Even so, the monk sits, permeating the body with a pure, bright awareness. There is nothing of his entire body unpervaded by pure, bright awareness. And as he remains thus heedful, ardent, and resolute, any memories and resolves related to the household life are abandoned. And with their abandoning, his mind gathers and settles inwardly, grows unified and centered. This is how a monk develops mindfulness immersed in the body. Monks, whoever develops and pursues mindfulness immersed in the body encompasses whatever skillful qualities are on the side of clear knowing. Just as whoever pervades the great ocean with his awareness encompasses whatever rivulets flow down into the ocean, in the same way, whoever develops and pursues mindfulness immersed in the body encompasses whatever skillful qualities are on the side of clear knowing. In whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is not developed, not pursued, Mara gains entry, Mara gains a foothold. Suppose that a man were to throw a heavy stone ball into a pile of wet clay. What do you think, monks? Would the heavy stone ball gain entry into the pile of wet clay? Yes, Lord. In the same way, in whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is not developed, not pursued, Mara gains entry, Mara gains a foothold. Now suppose that there were a dry, sapless piece of timber, and a man were to come along with an upper fire stick, thinking, I'll light a fire, I'll produce heat. What do you think? Would he be able to light a fire and produce heat by rubbing the upper fire stick in the dry, sapless piece of timber? Yes, Lord. In the same way, in whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is not developed, not pursued. Ma regains entry. Ma regains a foothold. Now suppose that there were an empty, hollow water pot set on a stand, and a man were to come along carrying a load of water. What do you think? Would he get a place to put his water? Yes, Lord. In the same way, in whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is not developed, not pursued, ma regains entry, ma regains a foothold. Now, in whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is developed, is pursued, ma regains no entry, ma regains no foothold. Suppose that a man were to throw a ball of string against a door panel made entirely of heartwood. What do you think? Would that light ball of string gain entry into that door panel made entirely of heartwood? No, Lord. In the same way, in whomever mindfulness immersed in a body is developed, is pursued, Mara gains no entry. Mara gains no foothold. Now suppose that there were a wet, sappy piece of timber, and the man were to come along with an upper fire stick, thinking, I'll light a fire. I'll produce heat. What do you think? Would he be able to light a fire and produce heat by rubbing the upper fire stick in the wet, sappy piece of timber? No, Lord. In the same way, in whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is developed, is pursued, Mara gains no entry. Mara gains no foothold. Now suppose that there were a water pot set on a stand, full of water up to the brim, so that crows could drink out of it, and a man were to come along carrying a load of water. What do you think? Would he get a place to put his water? No, Lord. In the same way, in whomever mindfulness immersed in the body is developed, is pursued, Mara gains no entry. Mara gains no foothold. When anyone has developed and pursued mindfulness immersed in the body, then whichever of the six higher knowledges he turns his mind to know and realize, he can witness them for himself whenever there is an opening. Suppose that there were a water jar set on a stand, brim full of water, so that a crow could drink from it. If a strong man were to tip it in any way at all, would water spill out? Yes, Lord. In the same way, when anyone has developed and pursued mindfulness immersed in the body, then whichever of the six higher knowledges he turns his mind to know and realize, he can witness them for himself whenever there is an opening. Suppose there were a rectangular water tank set on level ground, bounded by dikes, brim full of water, so that a crow could drink from it. If a strong man were to loosen the dikes anywhere at all, would water spill out? Yes, Lord. In the same way, when anyone has developed and pursued mindfulness immersed in the body, then whichever of the six higher knowledges he turns his mind to know and realize, he can witness them for himself whenever there is an opening. Suppose there were a chariot on level ground at four crossroads, harnessed to thoroughbreds, waiting with whips lying ready, so that a skilled driver, a trainer of tameable horses, might mount and, taking the reins with his left hand and whip with his right, drive out and back to whatever place and by whichever road he liked. In the same way, when anyone has developed and pursued mindfulness immersed in the body, then whichever of the six higher knowledges he turns his mind to know and realize, he can witness them for himself whenever there is an opening. Monks, for one in whom mindfulness immersed in the body is cultivated, developed, pursued, handed the reins, and taken as a basis, given a grounding, steadied, consolidated, and well undertaken, 10 benefits can be expected. Which 10? He conquers displeasure and delight, and displeasure does not conquer him. He remains victorious over any displeasure that has arisen. He conquers fear and dread, and fear and dread do not conquer him. He remains victorious over any fear and dread that have arisen. He is resistant to cold, heat, hunger, thirst, the touch of gadflies and mosquitoes, wind and sun, and creeping things, to abusive, hurtful language. He is the sort that can endure bodily feelings that, when they arise, are painful, sharp, stabbing, fierce, distasteful, disagreeable, deadly. He can attain at will, without trouble or difficulty, the 4 jhanas, heightened mental states providing a pleasant abiding in the here and now. He wields manifold supranormal powers. Having been one, he becomes many. Having been many, he becomes one. He appears. He vanishes. He goes unimpeded through walls, ramparts, and mountains as if through space. He dives in and out of the earth as if it were water. He walks on water without sinking, as if it were dry land. Sitting cross-legged, he flies through the air like a winged bird. With his hand he touches and strokes even the sun and moon, so mighty and powerful. He exercises influence with his body even as far as the Brahma worlds. He hears, by means of the divine ear element, purified and surpassing the human, both kinds of sounds, divine and human, whether near or far. He knows the awareness of other beings, other individuals, having encompassed it with his own awareness. He discerns a mind with passion as a mind with passion, and a mind without passion as a mind without passion. He discerns a mind with aversion as a mind with aversion, and a mind without aversion as a mind without aversion. He discerns a mind with delusion as a mind with delusion, and a mind without delusion as a mind without delusion. He discerns a restricted mind as a restricted mind, and a scattered mind as a scattered mind. He discerns an enlarged mind as an enlarged mind, and an unenlarged mind as an unenlarged mind. He discerns an excelled mind as an excelled mind, and an unexcelled mind as an unexcelled mind. He discerns a concentrated mind as a concentrated mind, and an unconcentrated mind as an unconcentrated mind. He discerns a released mind as a released mind, and an unreleased mind as an unreleased mind. He recollects his manifold past lives, that is, one birth, two births, three births, four, five, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000, 100,000, many eons of cosmic contraction, many eons of cosmic expansion, many eons of cosmic contraction and expansion, recollecting, there I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance. Such was my food, such my experience of pleasure and pain, such the end of my life. Passing away from that state, I re-arose there. There too I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance. Such was my food, such my experience of pleasure and pain, such the end of my life. Passing away from that state, I re-arose here. Thus he remembers his manifold past lives in their modes and details. He sees by means of the divine eye, purified and surpassing the human, beings passing away and reappearing, and he discerns how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate, in accordance with their karma. These beings, who were endowed with bad conduct of body, speech, and mind, who reviled the noble ones, held wrong views, and undertook actions under the influence of wrong views, with the breakup of the body, after death, have reappeared in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, the lower realms, in hell. But these beings, who were endowed with good conduct of body, speech, and mind, who did not revile the noble ones, who held right views and undertook actions under the influence of right views, with the breakup of the body, after death, have reappeared in the good destinations, in the heavenly world. Thus, by means of the divine eye, purified and surpassing the human, he sees beings passing away and reappearing, and he discerns how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate, in accordance with their karma. Through the ending of the mental effluence, he remains in the effluent-free awareness, release, and discernment, release. Having known and made them manifest for himself right in the here and now. Monks, for one in whom mindfulness immersed in the body is cultivated, developed, pursued, handed the reins, and taken as a basis, given a grounding, steadied, consolidated, and well undertaken, these 10 benefits can be expected. That is what the Blessed One said. Gratified, The monks delighted in the Blessed One's words. End of Kaya Gata Sati Suttang.